Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
In this society of ours, when we are constantly on the go, it's not just our bodies that are constantly moving, it is our brains. However, it is very important to give your brain a mental break, and we've got a wonderful guest, Mark Underwood. He is a neuroscience researcher. He's going to talk to us about why your brain needs a mental break. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good. It's great to have you on the show. All right, let's jump right in because we are all going in a million directions. As a neuroscience researcher, tell us why this isn't the best thing for our brains.
Well, the brains actually need a little bit of rest and relaxation. And I think that's probably intuitive to most of us, but we think of that often as maybe a week away at the beach in the summer. What we really need to instill into our daily habits is getting the brain some break time on a daily basis. Maybe that's taking a nap. Maybe that's closing your eyes and sitting in a chair and just enjoying the silence. Too much brain exercise really does fatigue the brain, will tire the brain out, and you'll become more foggy, less focused, if you're not giving the brain a little bit of rest and a little relaxation.
So I would venture to say that, or venture to guess, that you are very pro-meditation.
Certainly. Prayer is a great choice for an opportunity to give your brain a break. For some people, maybe they're listening at their computer, at their desk, and it's lunchtime, and they're eating something and dripping the food bits into their keyboards. Get out of the office. Get away from your desk for a little bit. Get a change of scenery. Get some fresh air. Maybe you're cooped up inside all day long, taking care of kids. Go for a walk outside. Get a break. Get away from the laundry. Get away from that pile of dishes. That's fine. Take a break. It's very important that we treat ourselves properly so that our brain works well. And part of that, guys, is actually getting a very good night's rest. So you need to do what you can to stay in a dark environment without noise, without light. Don't stay up reading your cell phone till the middle of the night. It's going to keep you up longer. And people who don't get good sleep can have 10 times worse memories than people who get a proper night's rest.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
So there's a lot of things that we can
sleep.
Do.
I just
people
think
people need
sleep
about 8 hours
important.
Of sleep. They do. Yeah, and people, go ahead.
No, you were going to say, I mean, Lisa was saying that she's so glad that you mentioned that, because I think sleep for a lot of people, I mean, we know that sleep deprivation is tied into so many things, you know, even for weight loss or weight maintenance. You're saying adrenal glands, and you're saying now, you know, mental health. And what are some of the side effects that if people are not getting proper sleep? Like you said, 8 hours of sleep a night. What is the least amount of sleep we should be getting in terms of how it affects our brain? And what are we experiencing if we're not getting proper sleep?
Well, if we're not getting proper sleep, we're going to be slow and foggy and fuzzy, and that's going to go throughout the day. Even if you do eventually wake yourself up with a cup of coffee, you're not able to make up for the sleep that's been lost. When you don't sleep at night, you actually lose brain cells more rapidly, and those brain cells are not going to be restored by catching up on your sleep on the weekend. So, you know, missing two nights of 8 hours of sleep, it is not made up by one night of 16 hours of sleep. That's not the way the brain works. If you're not getting good sleep at night, you're not going to be focused. You're going to have a worse memory. Obviously, you're going to feel tired. And that's going to lead to more stress in your body, which therefore needs more sleep to recover. So you've got to really break that cycle and get yourself some sleep.
You know, another important thing, Mark, that I'm looking at here is connecting with new people and places. Talk to us about how that helps our brains as well.
Well, there's a lot of tips for brain health, and certainly staying socially stimulated is one of the best. I was talking with a group of researchers this morning, and they agreed that social interactions are the best thing that you can actually do to stimulate your brain to work better. As you grow older, if you become more socially isolated, you're going to have more memory issues. So for those of you that are out there that are perhaps caregivers, you're helping someone that's out there that has a little bit of memory loss, that time you spend with them is actually very valuable. You're helping them out a lot because those are conversations you have with friends and family and visitations and dinners and family get-togethers actually forge very strong emotional bonds, which make the brain stronger. If you think of memory as a little bit like a spider's web, emotional memories have very thick strands. So the more time that you spend with someone who needs care, you're actually helping their brain work better by stimulating them by your presence. And that seems very natural, but science has now proven that that's a very good health indicator. More social interaction means better memory.
This is great information. Now, what about for those people who suffer, let's say, from anxiety or excessive nervousness, and they're not getting the proper sleep they need at night, or they can't turn off their brain? I know for some people who are doing meditation, it's hard to turn off their brain. So what advice would you have for people whose brain is like the monkey mind, right? Lisa, we've talked about monkey mind before
on
the show.
That.
So what about people, you know, who have monkey mind?
Well, I don't know what monkey mind is. I don't think that's a neurological term. Could you explain?
No, that's a made-up term that Lisa. That's a made-up term that Lisa pretty much refers to. It's just that our brain is never turned off. That there's always, you know, something you're thinking all the time, that you can never shut it off.
Well, certainly, what you need to do in order to facilitate good sleep is get yourself in a dark room without a source of light, without any noise. Cool the room. You know, make sure that you're comfortable. Make sure that you have a comfortable mattress and pillow and all these things. Make sure that you haven't eaten right before bed or drank alcohol right before bed. Both are actually very disruptive to sleep cycles. So get yourself in the calmest, most comfortable, regular environment that you can, and don't let that alarm go off for another 8 hours. Stay in that little coma that night, and that's going to help you get the best sleep that you can. If you sleep well, you're going to think well, and that's important because as we look at the aging of America, memory issues are going to be one of the more expensive things that we encounter over the next 30 years. They're already very expensive to see people dealing with advanced memory issues and mistakes at work and forgetting your kids at soccer practice and stuff like that. So there's a lot of urgency we need to put into the fact that we need a better brain today, and we shouldn't wait for it to fall apart on us. That's just not a great strategy.
Yeah, I completely agree. Prevention is so key. One of the things that helps me to give my brain a mental break is to do Pilates or yoga or something where I'm really focusing on my body and focusing on my breath. Talk to us about the role of exercise.
Well, exercise is very good. The exercise can actually promote the growth of brain cells, where normally they die as we age. Good cardiovascular exercise and resistance training has been shown to increase the number of cells in our memory centers of the brain, places like the hippocampus. We can actually measure the amount of brain cells that have been regrown in areas of the brain that have been stimulated by exercise. So that's very good advice. If you're healthy enough to exercise, do that. 3 or 4 times a week is all it takes. You don't need to train for the triathlon. You just need to go out there and get a little bit more active.
Now, what about the role of nature? I mean, we've been doing a lot of reading about nature and how it helps to calm our mind. Is there any research that you're familiar with in terms of nature and helping our brains?
Well, certainly. In fact, all of our research here at our company is founded in nature. We work with a protein that was originally discovered in jellyfish. So we're very understanding that a lot of the solutions for brain health are going to come from the rainforest or the ocean and, of course, we look in other animals and other species, and oftentimes we get hints into how the human body or human systems work, and that's entirely what we've done with our discovery from jellyfish to help keep human cognition improving and help improve memory for people that are otherwise, through the aging process, becoming forgetful.
You know, I was curious about your Twitter handle, Jellyfish Guy. Now it makes a lot more sense, right, Andrea?
It does make a...
That's right. Our whole company here in Madison is dedicated to researching a certain protein that was found in jellyfish and now helps with the human brain. So, hence they call me Jellyfish Guy.
That is really funny. So, Mark, could you share your website with people who want to learn more about you and the wonderful work that you're doing?
Sure. Our website's at quincybioscience.com. That's Q-U-I-N-C-Y. Bioscience, BIOSCIENCE.com, or reach out to me at Jellyfish Guy.
Thank you, Mark, for being on our show today. We appreciated you having you on.
Thanks, guys.
I'm Andrew Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a beautiful day and stay well.